Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
We have entered the month of May, and the Rock Splitting Politics show is glad to tell you the rocks are still splitting, rocks are falling, and who knows who will be the nominee for the Democrats and the Republicans. Well, after New England voted last week, a lot of folks figure it's a done deal. Is it? Well, let me ask you this. Does Ted Cruz plus Carly Fiorina equal an Indiana victory? Or if Cruz and Fiorina win in Indiana, will the former Indiana coach and icon of basketball legend of Indiana, Bobby Knight, start throwing chairs everywhere? That may be something to see. Bobby Knight at a Trump rally. If Trump gets beat in Indiana, will he start throwing furniture? Well, me. Hey, good to have you back. And it's good to be talking to you right here, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Wow, what a week. So much to pack in. Last week, we're going into Indiana this week. That's it. Is it Cruz's last stand? So much to talk about. And we're going to get to the politics of everything. But let me just remind you, this week, May the 5th, is the National Day of Prayer. Man, boy. Wow, if America ever needed some prayers, it's now. So please pray, take time, go to an observance of the National Day of Prayer in your city. A lot of people meet at City Hall at noon, or I know in my local City Hall, a group will be meeting there at 12:20 to 12:40 to pray for our nation. I also got a group. It's called Mission Mississippi, that we bring black and white Christians together once a month for food and fellowship and have a great time and pray. But this time we're going to be a part of the National Day of Prayer, so we'll have a time of prayer and fasting with water and coffee, and we'll be praying on May the 5th early in the morning. Also, if you're nearby Tupelo, Mississippi, come meet us at come to the Tupelo Arena. We'll be meeting inside the meeting rooms, and at 7 o'clock, we'll start praying for our nation. So be a part of that, and come join us if you're anywhere in the Tupelo area, 7 a.m., May the 5th. Now, please, go somewhere in your town, in your city, and pray for America on May 5th, and every day. Every day, pray for our next president. Who's it going to be? Well, that's what we're talking about in today's show. And let me tell you, we're also observing the national remembrance of the Holocaust. And so at the end of this show, I did run into a Holocaust survivor, not one that was sent to a concentration camp, but he's got a story to tell you. He was there. He's a survivor. Of course, most of these Holocaust survivors are getting pretty elderly now. But I got about 4 minutes of exclusive interview with Mr. Jack Cohen of Tennessee. And he was in the Greek islands, his family was, when the Nazis came in. So we're going to run the tape at the end of the show with him explaining what it was like to be a part of the Holocaust and how he survived. Now, we got to get to American politics, and it's the presidential race, and especially we had some events last week. 5 states voted, New England area states, and it was a blowout by Trump, and Hillary did well too. Let me play this few of the CNN had some of the highlights of the speeches, so take a listen to this.
I just want to thank all of you, everyone who came out to vote.
I just want to thank everybody. This is a far bigger win than we even expected. All five.
We're going to imagine a tomorrow where hard work is honored, families are supported, streets are safe, and communities are strong, and where love trumps hate.
We're going to be fighting really hard. And I think that Governor Kasich and Senator Cruz have really, really hurt themselves with a faulty deal that was defaulted on before they even started.
And so the media has told us the candidates in this race, the Republican and Democrat, they're both going to be New York liberals. But I got good news for you. Tonight, this campaign moves back to more favorable terrain.
You are the revolutionaries. Because you understand that unlike football or basketball, politics is not a spectator sport.
The Democrats have treated Bernie very badly, and frankly, I think he should run as an independent.
We will unify our party to win this election and build an America where we can all rise together. An America where we lift each other up instead of tearing each other down.
We're going to have our country back. We're going to make America great again. And I just want to tell you, for the five states, I am so honored. This was, to me, our biggest night because it shows such diversity.
Well, Donald said it shows such diversity. Most of the states were in the Northeast where he's strong. But there is no doubt I tip my hat off to Donald Trump. Wow, what a campaign he is running. Is it over? Well, we said it could be Cruz's last stand in Indiana. Now, what has he done? Before last Tuesday's elections, Cruz and Kasich came together with what Cruz called a moment of coalition building, and Trump called it collusion. Of course, they're going to battle out with that. But what happened, for those who don't know, John Kasich and Ted Cruz, their teams came together, and Kasich said he would pull out of Indiana. Cruz said he'd pull out of Oregon and New Mexico. Nobody said anything about changing votes or asking anybody to vote or not vote. They said the teams would just pull out, so they wouldn't be trying to push their candidate in that state. And of course, Kasich had to know, this is it. If Donald Trump gets to 1,237 delegates, it's over with. I mean, he will win on the first ballot. On the way, Cruz or Kasich now have a chance. It has to go to a second or third or beyond ballot. That's why the teams had to look. It's do or die in Indiana. If Indiana goes for Trump, you can just about wrap it up, folks. It's a Custer at the Little Bighorn. I mean, there ain't no way the states that are left if Donald Trump wins Indiana. That's the way it appears. That all falling down into the hands of Indiana. Now, we have told you about when Kasich and Cruz came together and decided that strategy. Most of Americans don't like it, don't know how it's going to play, but it had to be done because Cruz, if he doesn't win Indiana, Kasich doesn't have a prayer, and Cruz doesn't have a prayer, and Kasich's team had to recognize that, even though I know Kasich people in Indiana are very upset, or I would be if you're working all this time, and then your candidate backs out on you. Well, he didn't really back out, but he has to admit, Kasich cannot win at all. He has zilch, zero chance if Donald Trump wins Indiana. Cruz is just 8 points behind when they got together in the polling, so maybe it's a strategic move that works out. But what else did Ted Cruz do? Told you, he got Carly Fiorina, who has endorsed Ted Cruz, but Ted Cruz did more than that. Take a listen.
After a great deal of time and thought, after a great deal of consideration and prayer, I have come to the conclusion that if I am nominated to be President of the United States, that I will run on a ticket with my vice presidential nominee, Carly Fiorina. Kara Carlton Fiorina, known throughout the country simply by the name of Carly. Is an extraordinary leader. She started working as a secretary at a small firm, and she climbed the corporate ladder to become the CEO of the largest technology company in the world. And the first female CEO in history of a Fortune 20 company.
Well, that was the big announcement. That was what it rattled the Ted Cruz campaign with excitement. Now, can that excitement be parlayed into the state of Indiana? Will it help Ted Cruz or will it not? You have to say it's in the hands of the voters of Indiana, because whichever direction they go, if they give a big amen to Ted Cruz and they like Carly Fiorina and they like the vice presidential pick, which is not unprecedented. It's been done before. Ronald Reagan did it in 76, picking a liberal senator from Pennsylvania, trying to pick up the Pennsylvania delegation to try to beat out Gerald Ford. He didn't make it. Now, it's always a sign of what, better to say, desperation, or is getting down to the last straw almost. And that's what we said. Is Indiana Cruz's last stand, or does Ted Cruz plus Carly Fiorina equal an Indiana victory? Well, it's up to our listeners in Indiana. And if you got friends in Indiana and you want to weigh in on this vote, call them up and say, vote for Ted Cruz if you're a Ted Cruz person. If you're a Donald Trump person, get you some chairs ready to hand to Bobby Knight if Ted Cruz wins. But, wow, the people of Indiana are being watched by the entire world, especially American politics, but the whole world's watching the state of Indiana to see, has Trump wrapped this thing up, or does Ted Cruz still have a prayer on the same week as the National Day of Prayer? But the National Day of Prayer will be after the Tuesday primary in Indiana. So exciting week, exciting things going on. And I have to just tell you, this is something that I thought might happen. I didn't know who he'd pick. I didn't know what would happen. But we're going to look at some of the advantages and disadvantages on the second half of the show. Also, we got some clips, again, from Donald Trump when he's already starting on Crooked Hillary. And will that help him? We have some clips from that Donald Trump. So a lot to look forward to on this second half of the show coming up. And remember, at the end, I will play for the National Remembrance of the Holocaust. I'll play a clip. I did an exclusive interview of Mr. Jack Cohen, lives in Tennessee now, but he was born and lived in Greece when the Nazis came in. He's going to tell you his story. I'll play that at the end of the show. So a lot to look forward to, but right now let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net, and we're glad to have you. Now listen, if you want to sort of follow the campaign, see what Doc Holliday's been saying and talking to different people, go back and listen to the archives. Now last week we had a show with someone who has put together a coin, the Trump Triumph coin is what I'd call it, or Trump dollar, but you can get those, and he tells you how. But go back to last week's show if you hadn't heard it. And don't forget, I see some of you have been ordering my book off Amazon, some off my web page, but go and order Doc Holliday's newest book called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. It's not written by just me. It's Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and also Dr. Alex McFarland. Listen, we are entering an exciting time, not only in American politics, but where do you stand? Are the revolutionaries of Bernie Sanders? This, what's happening? The people are rising up in a way that Governor Haley Barbour, former governor of Mississippi and former head of the RNC, he helped engineer the defeat of the Democrats in 1994 for the first time in the House since the Eisenhower years. But listen, back before Eisenhower, is back in the 40s during the Truman years, I believe, since the Democrats had had the House at that point. But let me just tell you that what he said. He said, right now, Americans are so upset, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he said they're looking for any way to shoot a bird to Washington. And they said right now, he said, right now, Donald Trump is the biggest middle finger in America. And that's what's drawing the people to him. Now, Haley is definitely of the establishment wing of the Republican Party. So they're not happy campers now. And, you know, if they'd gotten behind Cruz earlier with some money and power, Cruz might have done more, but they didn't like Ted Cruz either. So the outsiders, the anti-establishment, Trump and Cruz are whipping tail this election season. And you can listen to it to see how it went on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics Archives. You can order my book through Amazon or at the website by clicking on the cover of it. Other books there. Some of you have been ordering some of the other books. I appreciate that. That's what helps keep us on the air and helps us get the message out so we can work together, you and Doc Holliday, as we go across this election year and this season looking for what? More liberty and more freedom for all Americans. And I have some other things coming up in shows we'll talk about, but let me just say right here, right now, the Rolling Stones are going to tell you exactly where Ted Cruz is. Take a listen. Well, that was Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones singing about Ted Cruz, weren't they? Between a rock and a hard place. Well, that's where Ted Cruz finds himself. Most presidential nominees for a party, really, they want to wait to the last minute and look at all their different positions and people available to put in the vice presidential slot. And I have to say that Ted Cruz, the reason he picked Carly Fiorina at the time last week is it is the last stand in Indiana. Now, he'll have to keep working harder and harder, but if he doesn't win Indiana, you might as well say the Cruz campaign is kaput. And you know, if the Cruz campaign's over, what's John Kasich going to hang around for? Well, I have to tell you, these are the disadvantage of Ted Cruz picking Carly Fiorina. It is to some people a sign of desperation, and Trump can seize on that. It's also coming in just a few days after the coalition building of what Ted Cruz calls his working out with Kasich the Indiana, New Mexico, and Oregon deal. So those are some things that people have to just say, hey, this is an act of desperation. You know, our listeners know, some of you first-time listeners, glad you're listening to us, but I did endorse Ted Cruz. I still endorse Ted Cruz. And I have to tell you, we had, in Mississippi, we had the starting of our delegate process where whoever wanted to, the GOP, you went to your precinct, and we had about 10 people at the precinct I went to. And I was nominated, and I was voted a delegate to the county convention. A few hours later, I went to the county convention where all the precincts, we had 38 precincts, had about 29 represented there at our county GOP convention. And there, again, I was elected a delegate to go to the state convention. And at the state convention, that's where they will elect delegates to for Trump and Cruz, which Mississippi voted in the primary. So 25 will have to go to Trump and 15 go to Cruz. There's 40 delegates. So maybe I'll try to be a delegate to Cleveland. Don't know how it'll work out, but I'm telling you, these are the things that Indiana, others are deciding. Every state's different, but it's a part of the American process of self-government. So if your state has not had a caucus or is going to have one, be a part of it. Get involved. That's what I've been telling you. We've worked together over these 6 years. I ran for Congress just a year ago. A year ago, I was busting my tail running for Congress. I didn't win. There was 13 of us running, and I would take nothing for the experience except for having to deal with the Federal Election Commission. I won't get started on that. But I have to tell you that, listen, get involved. And that's why I'm glad that Ted Cruz is still going at it in Indiana. Now, when there's no prayer, there's no reason to keep going. But if Donald Trump doesn't get 1237, there's still a prayer, still a chance. I'm pulling for Ted Cruz, but he's got to get a spark of life. And that's what he's doing with Carly Fiorina. That's his attempt. I hope he succeeds in Indiana. For Indiana listeners, get out there and vote for Ted Cruz. I said that. It's not over yet. The fat lady hadn't sung. Hillary hadn't. Well, we won't get into that. Okay. We'll let Trump take that one. But Trump, is he looking more presidential? His advisor said Trump's going to be more presidential. And Trump said, no, I'm not going to change who I am. So you don't know what he's going to say. And let me go ahead and play this. And then I'll get back to some of the advantages of Ted Cruz picking Carly Fiorina. But I had to play this of Trump had already starting about Hillary Clinton. Take a listen.
Talking about Hillary Clinton, whom you call Crooked Hillary, you said the only thing she has is the woman card. Now, even Chris Christie's wife standing behind you made a face when you said that. Do you think that's a winning formula to say the woman card is all that Hillary Clinton has?
Yes, it's part of a woman. It is certainly part. She is a woman. She is playing the woman card left and right. She didn't play it last time with Obama. But she's playing it much harder this time, and she will be called on it. She'll absolutely.
How do you call someone on being a woman?
You just tell them they're playing the woman's card. And
but frankly, what does that mean exactly?
Frankly, if she didn't, she would do very poorly.
How do you know that?
I know it because I think if she were a man and she was the way she is, she would get virtually no vote.
Well, Trump is putting Crooked Hillary in her place. Is he? Are the Republicans ready to start the general election? Well, Ted Cruz is saying not so fast, but opening shots are being fired by Donald Trump and some skirmishing back with Hillary Clinton. This could be a long, long, unexpected, nasty campaign for the general election if Donald Trump is, in fact, the nominee. And I'll have to say, I am of the never Hillary camp. I'm not going to say never Trump, not going to say never Cruz, not going to say never anybody on the Republican side, because we can't allow the Democrats or Hillary to pick the next Supreme Court justices. We can't allow the military to continue its decline into an unbelievable mess compared to what it was. But we can say this, the Republicans will have to unite at the party, when the party picks the nominee, whenever it is before the convention or during the convention, there must be unity. And I'll tell that to the Cruz fan. I'm a Ted Cruz man, and I want him to win. But when it's said and done, if Donald Trump's the nominee, I'm getting behind him. And I hope if Cruz pulls out a miracle and gets the nomination, then all the Trump people should be behind him. Both of them are renegades. They're mavericks. They're people who are tired of the establishment winning time after time. And it's the American voters have spoken to get somebody out of the establishment. And again, going back to what Ted Cruz did with picking Carly Fiorina, Carly is not of the establishment. She's not a politician. She hasn't held office. She knows her stuff, though. We saw that as she was on the debate stage. And we know that Carly Fiorina reaches out into the public where a lot of women have questions about Donald Trump. Will this help win over women into the Ted Cruz camp? Ted Cruz need a softening. Does this soften Ted Cruz? Will this help Ted Cruz in California? If Cruz can win Indiana, will they go all out in California where Carly Fiorina ran for U.S. Senate out there a few years ago? So she has California connections, and California is where she has run for office, lives, and I have to say, it could be a big plus for Cruz, potential plus. It depends on can you leapfrog from a Indiana win all the way to California, and there's some western states in between, like Montana, I believe North Dakota, Nebraska. These are states that will be good for Ted Cruz, so there could be some momentum. Is Trump going to say anything? Is he going to spend a lot of money trying to knock Ted Cruz down? Well, I bet there's all kind of money being spent in Indiana right now, and Indiana's not used to having all the publicity, so it's going to be interesting to see this week. So get out, all our listeners in Indiana, get out and vote. I'm telling you, if I was in Indiana, I'd be voting for Ted Cruz. If nothing more, I'd love to see Bobby Knight throwing some chairs around at the Trump rally after he gets beat, if that happens. So that is Doc Holliday's assessment. Should I have a better assessment than that? I'm just telling you, it's Indiana this week, folks. Get out and vote if you're in Indiana, and let's see what happens. Make sure, no matter if your candidate wins or loses, go somewhere on a national day of prayer, and next week we'll have a lot to talk about of whatever goes on in Indiana. So make sure you don't miss next week's show, because it will determine the arc of where we're going in this Republican nomination. And now, in honor and remembrance of the Jewish nation and all those who suffered under Nazi regime, the socialist Nazis of Germany under Adolf Hitler, 6 million Jews murdered, the Holocaust. Well, there was a Jewish family in Greece, and a young boy was among his family, and he did tell me, you won't hear it in this interview, but they did have to leave town in the night, and I'll let him tell the story, but they had to leave his grandmother because she could not travel. She did not survive. So he didn't tell that on the tape. But he did lose family. He lost his grandmother. They had to leave her. She could not travel where they had to go, and she was lost. So sad time in history. Take a listen to Jack Cohen tell his story of the Holocaust.
Do a different view of the Holocaust. Yes,
since we have never been to a concentration camp, and we were saved by the Christians in Greece. So we present a different view of humanitarian view rather than the barbarian view that the other people at the concentration camps faced.
And so now, do you live in a rural community when the Germans came in, the Nazis came
no,
in?
No, we did not have a concentration. I mean, ghettos. Right. We did not have ghettos. There's no ghettos in Greece.
That's why I mean, in a rural, you were in a rural, in a small town.
It's small, right? No, in a town. The town was about 65, 70,000 people.
Oh, okay.
A town. And we were about 250-something Jews in the town.
So how did you survive?
Thank God by the help of the Christians.
And the
bishop, the archbishop of Athens have issued, not orders, but advised all the priests and bishops in the whole country to do whatever they could to save the Jews in Greece. In our hometown, the bishop, the German general, went there and gave him 24 hours to give him a list of all the Jews, address, and everything else. And 24 hours later, when he went to get that list, there was only one name on the list. That was the bishop's name. That people have stuck their neck out to save us. And the same thing in a small island called Zakynthos. But there were two names. That was the bishop's name and the mayor of the town. And through the night, they've been able to save every single Jew in the town.
By doing what? Just hiding them in houses?
They hide them in houses. We were in a monastery.
In a monastery?
Yeah. First, we stayed in somebody's home. And then later on, we came back to that home after the monastery. So that's how they were.
So after the war was over, you still had a home to go to?
Right. Well, yeah. In a way, yes. But our home was occupied by another family. So we lived with them for several months until they found a place to move out, go somewhere. Yeah, but we came back to the house.
How old were you during this time?
Well, let's see, I was born in 1932. Okay. So 1940, I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
By 42, 43, I was 11, 12 years old when it started.
So when you were in... sort of in hiding, or
right.
You couldn't come out when the Nazis were occupying. You just had to stay indoors 24 hours a day.
Oh no, we're in the mountain. No, we're not in the town. We were not in the town. We were up in the mountain in a monastery. There were about three and a half hours to the nearest civilization. Okay. There was nothing around the town, just mountains, and a monastery. And the couple that was keeping the monastery, that's all.
How many people were at the monastery? How many Jews were in the monastery?
Our family.
Your family?
Four people.
So they had enough monasteries and places to spread everybody out?
There were rooms in the monastery. There were seven rooms in the monastery. But there was only the family, the husband and wife, they were the keepers of the monastery, and our family, four, that's all there.
That was Mr. Jack Cohen and his story of living through the Holocaust on the island of Greece, in the country of Greece. And so his unique perspective is different from what we've heard so many in the books that the majority of people experienced. But he was saved, his family. Like I said, his grandmother didn't make it because she couldn't travel the rough couldn't walk and up in the rough mountain areas where they had to go, and they lost his grandmother to the Nazis, to the Holocaust. So let me just say, I love our listeners, and I know we have some Jewish listeners, Christian listeners, some listeners who have no faith, but I just want to say to every one of you, we must remember the Holocaust so it's never repeated. And I must say that right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we are participating in the National Day of Prayer. I hope you will too. We have got a lot to talk about after Indiana next week. So don't miss the show, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.